Joining us here this morning in studio is Bob Paquette and Mary Graybar. Bob is a professor of history at Hamilton College. We'll go into his background in just a couple of moments and talk about what he used to be and compared to what he is right now and why. Also, Mary Graybar, she's an instructor at Emory. She's also a writer. And she has a website called DissonantProf.com, which is an exceptional website. Mary, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Bob, welcome. Good to have you, sir.
Thank you very much.
If you would move close to that microphone there, you can adjust it and pull it up to you if you like there, just so we can... that's very good. Thank you, sir. Bob, you used to be a chaired professor, a distinguished chair at Hamilton College. You're not now? Why not? What would you do?
In January of 2011, I sent a letter to the chairman of the Board of Trustees resigning my distinguished professorship. And I told the chairman of the Board of Trustees to distribute this letter to every other member board of the trustees. I said that in good conscience, I could no longer hold the distinguished chair. There were a number of troubling events that had occurred in the recent history of Hamilton College. I was very concerned about the educational direction of Hamilton College. In a faculty of 200, I am the only out-of-closet conservative.
out of 200?
One out of 200. That's correct. To the best of my knowledge.
That is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. So you resigned your distinguished chair.
Correct.
What did that mean to you personally and in your career? I mean, what did you give up by giving up the distinguished chair?
Well, I can safely say that I am not the most popular member of the faculty right now. But there was a series of events that rocked the Hamilton College campus in 2004-2005. There was an attempt to hire a member of the Weather Underground to teach a writing course. Her name was Susan Rosenberg. Some of you may know the story about Ward Churchill at the University of Colorado.
Yes.
The phony Indian and academic fraud.
Mm-hmm.
He was an invited guest at the behest of a left-wing organization on the campus to speak about prisons and the limit of dissent. And a friend of mine by the name of Ted Eismeyer brought to sunlight the article in which Ward Churchill compared the victims of 9/11 to Nazi bureaucrats.
Yes.
And thus deserving of their fate. And subsequently, as an historian, I began examining Ward Churchill's writings, and it took me, as I tell people, about 45 minutes to think this guy was an academic fraud. And so I compiled a bunch of the information, sent it to the chief counsel at the University of Colorado system. I found out subsequently that, in fact, the University of Colorado had numerous streams of information indicating that there were some problems with Ward Churchill's scholarship.
Mm-hmm,
and as
mm-hmm.
you probably know, the outcome of that, by a vote of 8-1, the Colorado Board of Regents fired Ward Churchill,
yes.
And now the case is in the courts.
All right. So because of these I hate to say left-leaning, because this is absolute leftist socialist behaviors and activities in college campuses. You resigned because this was so prevalent on your campus.
Yeah, I was. First of all, Hamilton has a proud 200-year history of liberal arts education. Now Hamilton has an open curriculum, which means no curriculum at all, and I regard that as a great betrayal of liberal arts education. So it's quite possible to go to Hamilton College today and graduate in 4 years with a high acume and the sheepskin without having taken, for example, a math course, a science course,
really?
A history course, an economics course, a government course. Absolutely. And what you have is a kind of buffet. I'm very concerned. What I see happening, and not just at Hamilton, is many of the elite institutions are not selling an education anymore. They're selling an experience. It's an experience where you go there and there's this beautiful buffet and you have gourmet food and you have climbing walls and juice bars and elaborate building. And Hamilton, let me say this, has some of the finest cosmetics you could imagine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very attractive to a mm-hmm. lot of young men and women. But the question is the quality of the education. And does it comport with a traditional understanding of a liberal arts college?
Now, Bob, I'm from Buffalo, New York, so mm-hmm. I've heard of Hamilton. A lot of my friends went to Hamilton mm-hmm. College. For those of you who don't know, Hamilton College is up in upstate New York. And you mentioned Ward Churchill and that you had to resign your chair. A couple of questions. A, are you still a professor of history at Hamilton? And B, did Ward Churchill actually come and speak, or did they respond to your letters and not let him speak at the college?
I am still a professor of history. With regard to the Ward Churchill situation is that initially the administration of Hamilton College insisted that Ward Churchill should be allowed to speak. They took an absolutist ground with respect to freedom of speech, which the president kind of conflated with academic freedom. They're not the same thing. And then what happened, because at least ostensibly because the president and the college could not guarantee the security of Ward Churchill, is they backed off from the talk and so canceled it. And so right there was a stunning illustration, in fact, that academic freedom is not absolute. There are grounds such as security that trump academic freedom.
And then what happened with the Weather Underground? You had mentioned Susan Rosenberg.
Yeah.
They were trying to bring her in to Hamilton College to be a what were they trying to bring her in for, and did they ever bring her in? Is she there now, or did that fall apart as well?
No, she was brought in to teach a course involving resistance memoirs. And if you recall, Susan Rosenberg was involved with the Weather Underground, and she was convicted in possession of a small mountain of weapons and explosives. And although the evidence clearly indicates she was also complicit in the murders of several policemen, is that in the trial they focused on the weapons cache she was discovered with, given 58 years in prison, and she was pardoned at the last minute by Bill Clinton. And so she was released, and then, of course, looking for economic opportunities, and there were wonderful economic opportunities for ex-felons on college campuses. And so she went on tour. Wow. And a left-wing organization at the college called the Kirkland Project, which is I think symbolic of a lot of the problems in institutions of higher education, with access to incredible resources, brought her in to teach this course. And then I helped lead the outcry against this. When Hamilton College trustees were kicking off a big fundraising campaign at the New York Historical Society, a gauntlet of off-duty police officers surrounded them angrily with placards as they were going into the New York Historical Society, expressing their outrage. The same day, the Wall Street Journal published an editorial that said, "Look who's coming to campus," you know, this kind of thing. So it was as a result of these incidents and others that the college was initially receptive to an idea that I had to create a counter to the imbalances known as the Alexander Hamilton Center for the Study of Western Civilization. We got a certain distance. We thought we had a signed agreement with the college, but under pressure from radical faculty and some trustees, in fact, is the whole deal collapsed, and then we took this entity off campus.
They don't want anything on campus, especially sanctioned by Hamilton University, that represents anything other than left.
Well, the Alexander Hamilton Center for the Study of Western Civilization was to focus primarily on three ideas.
Yes.
Freedom.
Yes.
Democracy.
Yes.
Capitalism.
You can't have that. Come on now. We got a far right-wing radical here.
No kidding.
Talking about freedom and democracy and capitalism.
We got to do a break. When we come back, Mary Graybar also joins us in the conversation about the same kind of thing happening here in Georgia. 8:45 now. Let's make sure we know what's happening in the roadways. Here's Art Maring. Mary Graybar, who's an instructor with Emory. Mary, you have a blog called dissidentprof.com, and you write often about the bias you see locally here in Georgia and the Atlanta area in college campuses. Tell us a couple of stories about what you've seen firsthand that really illustrates this leftist socialist teaching coming from our universities to our students.
Okay, well, thanks. Yeah, well, I had a post recently on my site about a teach-in that was at Georgia State on February 4th, and this was supposed to be on the banned curriculum materials in Arizona. That's what it was ostensibly about. They were discussing it, but they were discussing how to use these banned subversive materials that promoted overthrowing the U.S. government and hatred towards certain ethnic groups. But also what they were doing was they were lobbying against bills pending on illegal immigration. And I thought I'd heard pretty much everything from professors in the nearly 20 years that I've been teaching. But towards the end, when everybody got up and made their pledges, I heard one Georgia State education professor pledge to give her students assignments to write letters to legislators against pending bills restricting illegal immigration. She would be giving extra points for that. So basically bribing students to lobby for a particular bill or against a particular bill.
That's incredible. This is like union behavior here in
yeah,
the classroom.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they actually do have union studies and labor studies. They have all these different, you know, new departments springing up all over the place.
Uh-huh.
I think in Wisconsin they're trying to mandate that for all students.
Golly.
Well, and what's interesting is they're demanding political activism from their students, rewarding political activism, yet a fellow like Professor Bob Paquette, his point of view isn't allowed in the classroom. So if you're going to demand political activism from your students and give them one side of the story, it's a bit outrageous.
Yeah, more than a bit, wouldn't you say, Bob?
Yeah, well, what I've been campaigning for years in Hamilton College is on this question of intellectual diversity. I have told the trustees openly, I've told the administration that at Hamilton College I see a distinct lack of intellectual diversity. This is a theme that even people on the left are recognizing. Let me give you an example of this. About a year ago, there is a liberal social psychology professor by the name of Jonathan Haidt, University of Virginia. There was a big meeting of social psychologists in San Antonio. There were about 1,000 in attendance. And he did a little thought experiment, and he asked the 1,000, you know, to raise their hands as he identified a political affiliation. When he said left liberal, almost every hand in the room went up. When he asked the conservatives among the 1,000 to raise their hand, three went up. Now, can you imagine what would the national outcry be if there this was a question of gender and only three women's
yes.
hands went up, or three African Americans, or three gay professors?
Right.
There would be a national outcry.
A clear discrimination.
And so the question becomes, how did we get to this? And I've been at Hamilton 31 years. I've taught at no other institution. So I think, you know, I have pretty good insight, certainly, and it's how it happened on my campus, and how it happened on my campus may be instructive on how it happened on other campuses as well.
You were developing this Alexander Hamilton on-campus institute. What was it?
It started out as the Alexander Hamilton Center for the Study of Western Civilization.
All right.
And it started out as an on-campus institute. We got the administration to sign an agreement, and then under pressure from radical faculty and then also some members of the Board of Trustees, the agreement collapsed. Noteworthy about the creation of this is that when we went to the administration to create it, we told them we would not ask, and these are the exact words, for a dime or a paperclip, you know, from the administration, that this would rise and fall based on our ability to raise fresh money.
In essence, on its own merits.
On its own merits.
Mm-hmm.
And we raised, all right, before the collapse,
uh-huh.
almost $4 million.
And $4 million.
Yeah, $4 million.
I thought you were going to say $400,000, and I was going to say, that is impressive. $4 million.
Yep.
And the college said,
walked away from it. Yeah, and saying that the dean went public with a statement that's that they had to walk away from these millions of dollars because the Alexander Hamilton Center would be disruptive to the community.
Disruptive. Because, again, the three things that you stood for were?
Well, democracy, freedom, and capitalism.
Disruptive to today's college campuses. It's astounding.
Yeah. Well, the faculty, let me put it this way. Many of the faculty will say other things intruded, but they knew full well that if this got the ground with the kind of funding that was there for us, that it would have a dramatic effect on the educational environment at Hamilton College.
Yes.
As one of my students told me, who overheard a conversation from some of the faculty opposition, and here is virtually a quote, they, meaning the founders of the AHC, have to be told this is our campus.
Wow. Mary, this I know you deal with these kinds of issues, not just in Georgia, but in other universities around the nation as you get these examples and see them. This is quite commonplace, isn't it? We're hearing this story from just one university, but this is commonplace, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. There are very few campuses, maybe a couple like Hillsdale or Grove City College, where this doesn't really go on. But even some of the religious institutions, pretty much the radicals have done what they said they were going to do in the Port Huron Statement at the meeting of the SDS in 1962, and they've infiltrated the institutions and they've taken power, so that someone who doesn't do the type of scholarship that they're looking for is excluded from consideration for a position, certainly from tenure.
Let me just mention that there's going to be an event tonight, 7 p.m., Emory University, Whitehall. Professor Bob Paquette will be there talking about... talking about why we can't even talk about Western civilization anymore, and it's a sad state of affairs. But Professor Paquette, I did want to ask you, the Alexander Hamilton Institute, it's not dead, right? I mean, it's still up and running, and how does this work now that the college walked away from you guys?
Well, thanks for asking that question. We're thrilled because, as I told the president after she pulled the plug on the Alexander Hamilton Center, I don't go into anything without plan B, C, or D. And so what we did was we put together a syndicate of investors, and they purchased a historic mansion in downtown Clinton about a mile from campus, and we located as an independent nonprofit 501c3. And so what we have done now on campus is create a number of student groups. We have some religiously oriented, some focusing on political theory and politics, some on entrepreneurship, and we hold all sorts of gatherings, sponsor all sorts of distinguished guests, and we take kind of a back-to-future approach in that at the Alexander Hamilton Institute, we bring really interesting, intelligent young men and women together for serious conversations about great books. We require them to dress up in ties. Oftentimes we have catered lunches and meals, and we also bring in some leading authorities, not just in the United States, but from around the world, to come in and discuss given topics.
That's brilliant. Well, the speech tonight, of course, as we just relayed to you, we'll post it on the blog today as well. We'll continue our conversation here in just a couple of moments online with the Rob and Dave Show Extra this morning before they have to leave studio. Mary Graybar, you can see her website. It's called dissidentprof.com, and there is a lot of historical data on the subject we're talking about this morning that will help you understand exactly how we've gotten where we are. We haven't gotten here quickly. This has been a long-term process. Mm-hmm. And the conditioning of campuses from the faculty through the administrators and through the students. Thank you both for coming in this morning. It's going to be a great speech tonight, Bob. I hope a lot of people come out to hear what you've got to say.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
And make sure you check out the Rob and Dave Extra podcast on the website. We'll have a further conversation with the professors.
WGST.com. Just go to the Rob and Dave Show. Mary Graybar, thank you as well.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
One before nine.